Born and raised in Kansas City, he's followed the Chiefs his entire life. He has seen every single home playoff win. That's right, all three of them. 30 years later, he's still following the Chiefs. Except now, he gets paid to do it. He's our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor of The Athletic, on the program.
Yes, indeed. Nate Taylor with his fancy Athletic sweatshirt. The Athletic sweatshirt, not Athletic, like it's an athletic. But you could probably go out and ball in that. It's a nice zip-down hoodie.
Yeah, it's a perfect time for it.
It's the kind of hoodie that you think you might get for promoting the crap out of a website, you know?
You'd think.
Are you suggesting something?
Do they have it in fat sizes?
Need me to put in a call.
Yeah.
I will send a text.
Sharp. I like that.
The t-shirts are more readily available, I think, for both subscribers, readers.
That would be great if it were for just some schmo
family
that has
members.
Done nothing for the website ever.
I normally only wear t-shirts, Nate.
Say what?
I normally only wear t-shirts, so that should be fine for me.
Okay.
Just some schmo.
Okay.
I am a schmo.
Shout out to Emily Wright, Holly's sister. I did go to San Francisco, and I did get her a t-shirt when I visited the H.
Oh, wow.
HQ headquarters in San Francisco after the Chiefs dismantled the Raiders in week two. So, Seren, it could happen, you know.
Okay. Good to know. How did you enjoy your weekend with no football? No football to cover,
yes,
I mean.
Yes, it was wonderful. Oh, it's so great. It's out on the couch.
Gosh, I know, because that gig is just the worst.
Just the worst. Traveling to watch football and then writing about it.
Oh,
trying to decide
Lord.
What's real about, you know, a dislocated kneecap to the league MVP. Ah, so bad. But
nose
hey,
to the grindstone.
I watched Packers Raiders the entire, like, all the way through, which, of course, is, like, kind of necessary for the job because, you know, you are playing one opponent next week and the other opponent is the divisional one.
Was the Colts Texans the other game that was local, or was I watch? I don't know.
I was using the app, but I think the other game that was local was Vikings Lions.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and that is also kind of important too because you play the Vikings 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you know, I was checking in on all the games. Man, I thought Deshaun Watson would play better, but hey, Aaron Rodgers looks to be really good. Looks to have a feel for the offense with their new coach Matt LaFleur. So I mean it was fine. It was great. Saw some
Give
friends.
Up 480, so that's some hope maybe for the Chiefs.
You know, took the wife out to dinner on a Saturday night.
It
was real nice, man.
Won't rule out Patrick Mahomes.
Can I just laugh incessantly?
Here's what I appreciate. If they're not going to rule him out, I look forward to the regular conversation on Wednesday. There should be no reason for anyone to respond to me. It's up in the air. We'll get back to you.
Yeah. For our listeners, the Chiefs send out a
I'm just
weekly,
saying.
I'm going to counter
for,
with this.
For whoever's typing what I'm saying right now, if you notice the sarcasm in my voice
yeah.
If I'm laying it on thick, so make sure you italicize it or put it in quotes or underscore it.
Yeah, so
seems odd to me that if we're almost there, why we would have any kind of dilemma about what will take place Wednesday.
I enjoy laughter, clearly. I like to laugh. It did occur to me that for our listeners, they give us reporters and those in the media, you know, sort of an itinerary of how the week will look. You know, how does Wednesday look? Here's Thursday with the coordinators. Here's Friday.
As usual,
sort of wrap up
the same thing.
Yeah, there was one omission.
No quarterback on Wednesday.
No quarterback on Wednesday because you know he's hurt, or the quarterback you're alluding to.
Somebody's gonna play.
Somebody will play. I assume Matt Moore is going to be with us. I have nothing to believe that Patrick Mahomes will not be rehabbing instead of, you know, doing his usual Wednesday press briefing. I don't see that occurring.
Fans don't give a crap what we do. I mean, they want to hear from things and they want questions to be asked, but they can only be asked if somebody's actually there to answer them. So I would point that out. But
I'm just saying the week looks different than it has looked all year.
Yeah. So is this a sign? Is it just I'm always open to my own self-critique. At least I try to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
My wife will laugh at that comment very heartily as well. But I'm open to the fact that it's just some of the frustrations that come with my job that I'm creating this narrative that it's the Chiefs sweating the things that don't matter as a sign of a potential problem. Is that just me? Maybe me and you, media people. I've talked with national people, and the Chiefs do seem to be about as bad as you can be when it comes to being able to talk to the individuals that actually pertain to the storylines of the week in the NFL.
To getting access? Is that what you're, is that what you're alluding to?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, hiding Marcus Peters under a tablecloth in a dining room three buildings away or whatever the hell they did during that entire time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just all of it. I mean, is that sweating the little things? Is that a sign of insecurity? Is that a
is that
a problem, or is it just our, listen, that's the cross you got to bear, fat guy. Just deal with it and move
on. It's both, but football coaches all the time say this, and I tend to acknowledge and understand and try to agree with them that all the little things do matter.
And is it a sign you don't take smart players, that you can't trust them for 5 minutes in front of a microphone? That they won't give up the game plan?
It matters. I mean, look, people may not feel like what matters in the building from week to week or how things are managed matters on the field, and I would tend to disagree with them just because there is a philosophy and the process and the way of doing things and being professional so that you can be to the best of your abilities on game day. So yes, the Chiefs are a little bit restrictive in that manner. I think that's the correct word in saying it, but he's the MVP of the league. And the point I made today earlier that was, wasn't broadcasted, I don't believe, it was after Andy was done, but it's like, okay, they brought out Rick Burkholder. His job is to acknowledge when an injury has occurred, try to give the best.
And then run!
And then
run, Rick!
Try to give the best explanation. And it is
get the hell out of there before a question comes.
And it is told to
run!
Us, as he's walking through the door, so does. Now remember, Rick don't take no questions. He don't take questions. He just gives you the information. He tries to give you an update, a timetable of which seems appropriate, and then he gets out of there. And
yes.
So
he
and so
tells you there's a groin injury for Eric Fisher, and then he stands at a podium and says, a core injury, and then he runs.
Yeah.
Or he says, what is it?
Or he says that, so-and-so flew to someone and met with so-and-so and maybe had surgery, maybe he didn't, but now he's back. And, like, you know, ask Andy about the timetable as to when he may play. Then you ask Andy, and then Andy goes, you need to ask Rick because I'm not in the medical field.
If their surgeries hadn't been an abundantly disastrous Travis Shamakery of results over the years,
which is why I think fans are
wouldn't be as inquisitive,
right? Which is why fans were so I don't know if you're gonna say over the top, but why fans were so concerned when you see the franchise, the MVP, get his knee relocated, and then I think it's fair to assume everyone thought, okay, well that probably means
he's out till 21.
Some matter of procedure, some surgery of some kind.
You got it.
And then,
he didn't register.
Well, I just moved on. I thought next year was 2020.
Well, that's how it worked with Justin Houston, didn't it?
Look, I type day to day on my Twitter feed or on my Twitter account, and I know people were going to be like, "Well, there goes the season." Day to day means basically, see you when we see you. So I understand the fans' sort of concern, but for the Chiefs, my I guess issue is that we knew he was going to have an MRI on Friday. People in the organization told me that after Thursday night's game. He has the MRI. Andy Reid talks. The team doesn't acknowledge it until Monday. I just didn't know. I just don't understand, I guess, why there wasn't an email. Like, you literally could have walked to Rick Burkholder, had him say
sure they acknowledged it. They sent it out to all the national guys.
Right.
They did. I mean, you heard me. I asked Andy Reid.
I know.
The report came out while we're on the teleconference. Clearly,
I know.
Somebody put it out to all the national guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm aware.
And my guess is it's somebody who's like, couple more guys.
Pretty sure
it's
Ian
probably
Rappaport,
somebody who utters the phrase "couple more guys" a lot. My words. I don't. No one else needs to fight this fight but me. I'll fight this fight. Let's go. What is the purpose of that?
Yeah.
And then you wonder why you don't get hugs and kisses when you're in a questionable situation.
Yeah. And look,
he said Ian wasn't. I didn't see Ian in the building today, but I don't think Ian Rappaport makes things up out of whole cloth.
Yeah.
When he says something happened, it happened.
And the issue is, you look around all the other teams in the league, and I will be very clear about this. The majority of the teams in the league will acknowledge an injury and will put out a statement in a relatively understandable time frame.
Well, this
the Chiefs did not. The Chiefs let basically their quarterback float out there for 4 days before their own medical staff acknowledged that, yes, he had a dislocated knee. Again, these are small stuff, but I think NFL teams like to suggest that every little thing matters and every little thing equates to wins, losses, success, failure.
So here's my – it's funny. I was on in D.C., and they're like, well, we're going to record you in the hour before we go on the air. You don't think they'll release it beforehand? I go, you're joking, right? I go, I'm going to be on a conference call with Andy Reid, and he's going to say, I don't have the injuries. I'll get that to you later. And then he's going to get that to us later 4 days from now, the next time he is forced to come to a microphone. You have no worries. The interview is not going to go in the toilet. There is not a snowball's chance in hell that the Chiefs themselves are going to release anything. Okay? And I just thought it was comedic after having that conversation with DC that then while I'm talking to Reed, the reports are out there. They clearly had the information.
And it's true. It was true that what I was told as to when the MRI might occur, it's true they moved it up, which again, smart, wise. Like if his knee isn't as swollen as you hoped and you can do the MRI scan. And you can do the MRI scan. And you think you can get good results from the scan as soon as possible, then, yeah, go and do the MRI. But they moved it up. That's fine.
So who gives a crap if we know? Although I think you owe it to your fans. That's what I think. And if you're saying, well, we get it to our fans by Adam Schefter. I think you owe it to your Kansas City fans before it, trickles down on a national level. But, okay, you don't. It'll be fun to have the next stadium vote. I mean, just think about it if you're going to,
All these things matter, and everybody makes the decisions they make, and you can agree with them and try to understand them or disagree with them.
Is this a sign that they're sweating crap that doesn't matter? Dick Vermeil told me a long time ago. I said, "What advice did you give Tom Coughlin? I'm sure he called you now that he's getting back into coaching when he took the Giants job." He goes, "I told him don't sweat the stupid things."
Yeah. Keep it simple.
Yeah, focus on the things that matter. Quit worrying about how high everyone's socks are. Like, focus on what matters. This, to me, is not focusing, the energy. And then secondarily, the hiding everybody out, right? Never mind they're violating league rules. The league clearly doesn't care because they don't do anything, despite what some of the guys, that are writers and media types have tried to file with the league. They don't care.
It's not just do you care. It's just there should be a standard practices.
Right.
And are you upholding to what the league considers a standard practice?
It's just a matter of, what should be, there's just a right way and a wrong way. But my fear is that, is this a sign that you're constantly drafting and signing morons? I mean, there are people, some people had a good game last week. I don't want to, bust chops anymore than I need to. That had done some stupid things before. Are they too dumb to carry out the game plans? Is that why they're hidden away? Because for 5 minutes, a bunch of middle-aged farts might blow up the organization by asking about, hey, you struggled against the run, or you guys haven't been able to run the ball. You are so terrified that they are so dumb that they can't handle that. That you have to hide them out. I genuinely fear this, that their makeup, which we hear in baseball all the time, they put nothing into the category of makeup, and that's why they've come up short, because the Patriots aren't a bunch of morons.
Right. And there, I'll respond with two thoughts. This happened in the same season. So this happened this year, right? Chris Jones hits, and again, these are quarterbacks. One is a Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback, and the other is the MVP of the league. And again, this is just standard practices. You can interpret those rules as best you can. But Chris Jones hit Nick Foles in week one, knocked him out of the game. He's essentially done for at least half the season, if not more. After the game, Nick Foles talks and answers every question to all the media who want to ask him a question about, hey, you just signed a $50 million, I think, guaranteed contract with the Jaguars. You're supposed to be their new franchise guy. You're the man leading up in front to try to win the AFC South to get back to where you guys were in the AFC Championship game. You've won a Super Bowl. You got hurt. This isn't how the plan was supposed to go. But he answered and talked for, I think, 15 minutes after the game, trying to explain, like, man, this sucks. This is what I saw on the play. Here's what they're telling me in terms of the timeline. We've already done the x-rays. We already know that I'm out for whatever, however many weeks. And you can kind of go down the line. The MVP of the league got hurt on Thursday night in a national televised game that millions of people watched, and he was never made available. Now, he, at least from the league standpoint, they convinced the Chiefs to at least show us a portion of Patrick Mahomes' speech in the locker room to his teammates to give you some idea of what his thought process was or mentality was coming after the injury. But he was walking. He was talking. He can be made available. It's just whether you want to choose to do that or not. The Chiefs have a different philosophy
all right,
in that,
so now
in that
here's,
category.
Here's option three. And I like the guy a lot. I'm a big Andy Reid fan. I don't want him fired. He's not a moron. I'm fine with the sneak, and he can throw it all he wants. All right, so let me just cover the bases. I'm generally find myself defending Andy Reid across the board on things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Andy Reid who can't handle – like, he is a scarred individual from his days in Philadelphia. Yeah. He is insecure about not having won a Super Bowl to where he's got a, I'm going to screw you guys who criticize me by, for no reason, just making sure you can't talk to these people. I have that power. There's no really
there's
need
no,
for me to wield
there's
it.
No, there's no,
but I can do it, so right. Screw you. I'm going to do it. That is a guy who, again, is sweating something that doesn't matter. And he's not as immune to the criticism and the frustrations as he'd like to let on. If he's out there pulling players, Patrick Mahomes has never said an inflammatory comment since he came to town.
Nope.
In fact, he's almost as coach speak and at times more than Andy Reid himself. So if there's anybody you could trust, I would think it would be him.
Yeah.
So either he's not as slick as we all think, or Andy Reid is insecure.
This is not a direct answer or direct response to your
because
thought,
you don't
want to
get cut off.
No, not. It's not a direct response to your thought process. Although your thought process is very clear and defined, and I can appreciate it. There is no man with more power in that building than Andy Reid.
So, it's his policy.
Yeah. So
pissing and moaning about the PR staff is just killing the messenger.
No, I mean there is a hierarchy, and he is at the top, and you know, ownership.
And again,
Clark Hunt has given him that power. So
I'm going to make my assessments and do my research and do that, and no matter what, whether I get to talk to anyone down there or not. But I do think it's a legitimate question to ask. We always say, okay, let's put ourselves in the GM spot. With Andy Reid, you got to put yourself in the owner's spot if you're going to affect change on his job.
Mm-hmm.
We know Brett Veach isn't going to fire Andy Reid. That's not how that's powers.
Right. No.
Clark
kind
of said the coach answers to him.
Yes.
My point, though, is it is a flaw. It is an issue if he is preoccupied with sweating.
Yeah. And again,
you know, Gunther Cunningham used to sit and tell us how many hours he worked, and come to find out 4 or 5 of those hours was reading everything written about him. That's not a productive work day.
Right. And it's not like normal people aren't immune to that beyond just being NFL coaches.
No,
and that's,
absolutely.
And that's fine. And I kind of understand and get that. I try to tell people all the time, don't search your name on Google. Don't search your name on Twitter. It ain't worth it. That being said, I just think,
do you run with? That's actually a big problem.
I'm actually searching my name on Google. Right now.
There are people that do it, and it would surprise you.
3:20 every day.
I try to tell people don't go down that hole, man. There are I appreciate people's nice comments, and those are always welcome. But like, don't be searching for where you are in the lexicon of what people are thinking on the internet or just in general. But yeah, I mean there's just a way of doing things, and there are decisions that are made, and I think it's comical that Andy Reid said it. It's a stretch that he could like play this week when no one has told me at all that is a real possibility. I think the most, and I really need to say this so that fans and our listeners can completely understand this. By no means does Patrick Mahomes need to be on any field in a Chiefs uniform until December 1. Outside of that, I feel like that is either him making the decision to come back too early, or the team is pushing him to come back too early, or even if he's 100% healthy, you get a bye week. Take the bye week. Heal the ankle, heal the knee, get ready for December 1 against the Raiders.
I think if he's healthy, there's nothing wrong with, okay, he plays. He hadn't played for 4 weeks. He plays, and then he gets an extra week to get healthy after any kind of residual soreness that might be there or whatever. Listen, when he's ready to go, he can go. But I think every Chiefs fan and every person who covers the Chiefs has got more than enough history to question whether or not they're going to handle this the right way, because mm-hmm. there have been a lot of injuries,
and it's not just this
with this
year.
Organization that it's, have taken significantly longer than they seem to take everywhere else.
It's not this year. It's the next year, and then the year after that, and then the year after that, and then the year after that, because he's the MVP of the league. You cannot get this wrong. So it's great for the Chiefs that Patrick Mahomes did not have any ligament damage of any significance. It's great that they were able to quickly, and this is a major credit to them, to identify in time to know exactly what was wrong, know exactly what to do to relocate his knee,
well,
so that the pain could significantly reduce. But
then you've got to credit the half-drunk moron sitting in my basement watching the game, because they all identified the dislocated kneecap from TV.
But you could, you could sit on it. You could make a bad decision. You could relocate it improperly. I mean, some things could go wrong. But it's a good thing.
Corona's around. It did not affect their judgment. They're like, that kneecap's dislocated.
Right. I mean, they showed it on TV.
So let's not give them too much credit.
But to be fair, it's about a decade. It's not about this year.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But from that standpoint, listen, Aaron Rodgers went back out there last year. Left the field.
Mm-hmm.
They thought he was done for the year. Came back out in that game.
Did he get on a cart?
And then, yeah, he might have.
He might have gotten on a cart.
And then limped through the next 3 or 4 weeks in a mm-hmm. season that was going nowhere. You're paid to play football.
Right. But
and if you can play, you should be out there.
Yes, but you don't want to make a situation worse. That's always the issue or the sort of precaution that you have to take. And there's still time in the season for them to have the success they want. It will be a different path than what you initially, you know, thought when the season began, but as much as
patience with the injuries will be directly linked to the success they have without him.
Oh, of course. I mean, but that's any NFL team. So, yes, they could. I mean, to be fair, they could lose all. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if they lose the next 4 games,
they're 5-6 and still in it.
Yes, and they still have all their divisional opponents ahead of them, and you have the franchise quarterback as healthy as he can be given the amount of risk you've given him.
We'll take a break. We'll come back more with Nate Taylor from The Athletic here on the program.
A new way to end your day. The program. Now from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah. All right, the good sense, end of the hour answer. Aaron Rodgers, third quarterback to have 400 yards.
Says you.
5 passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown in a game.
Yep.
I asked for either of the other two.
Mark Rippon.
That's one of them. 442, 6-1.
Is it Bobby Lane?
Mm-mm.
It's one of the old-time guys. Norm Van Brocklin?
Norm Van Brocklin. 554, 5-1 for the Rams against the New York Yankees on opening day in 51.
When you're beating the Yankees in an NFL game, we're going back.
We're doing something.
It's kind of amazing. That 30 or 48 years, that 58. That as much as passing as is done, that 554 is still standing there.
Yardage-wise?
Yeah. That's kind of amazing.
The game is
someone
shorter.
The
game is shorter. Back then, the clock stopped more.
Yeah.
Giving him more opportunities. That's one of the reasons why.
He had 27 completions for 554 yards.
Some great tackling on display there.
Yeah.
Textbook, I would,
that early
I would 50, say.
Early to mid-50s Rams team was a freak show. I mean, they could light it up.
Playing for some good sense, we were. Good sense. You can go right now to goodsensesubs.com. and order you some dinner to pick up or get the app. Remember, Loyalty Club, 10% back. It's the best loyalty club going. It's not just 19 offers for a free cup of coffee after you've had 5 cups of coffee. The worst loyalty club out there. I'm not naming names. I'm just saying. You get 10% of everything you get at Good Sense Pack on your app. It's the best one going, GoodSenseSubs.com. And the Good Sense app, make sure you get it. Slicing the meats and cheeses fresh right in front of you every day. Baking the bread fresh twice each day. That's Good Sense. They don't do it because it's easy. They do it because it tastes better. Nate Taylor is with us from The Athletic. Nate, all right, so that being said, what are you expecting from Matt Moore and the Chiefs while he is running the show? Should he ever actually take the field as the starting quarterback?
I expect a pretty competent quarterback, honestly, because what he showed in the second half of Thursday, I think, is something that fans should really consider to be remarkable, because just about every guy in the locker room told us that he took no reps at any point this season with the ones. Now, he did come in after Chad Henne had an ankle injury, I think was the third preseason game at the time against the 49ers. And so you're in a not great situation where you have to call a guy, take him from being a high school assistant, a former scout for the Dolphins, and say, hey, come play quarterback again. His timing got better as the game went on. His decision-making was good. He didn't turn the ball over, which is what you will really ask of him to do on Sunday. Don't make things easier for Aaron Rodgers. Don't turn the ball over. Andy Reid, I think, should pull out every screen pass imaginable, every trickeration he's got, which you know he has a ton. And you got to take a couple deep shots with either Sammy Watkins, who we assume will be back for Sunday's night game.
I was told that
had Thursday's night's game against the Broncos been played Sunday, he would have been on the field.
When they said he was day to day,
I'm just telling you what I'm told from sources.
And I'm
I was told
you,
that Sammy Watkins has improved just fine, and that as a precaution, they did not want to necessarily push him if he was not closer to 100% as they would want it. They, you know, assume that. And Andy went to this point today, like, hey, if you're healthy, you're healthy. If you're not, you're not. If I don't deem you to be ready to go on a Thursday night on a short week, then we'll just rest you so that you can be ready for Sunday night football against the Packers. So, unless some setback occurs between now and Sunday that we do not know or foresee, Sammy Watkins should be in uniform along with Tyreek Hill. And that goes to my point of you should take a shot or two or even three with either guy on – you know, play action passes down the field, see if you can beat somebody in a one-on-one coverage.
I think Watkins is day-to-day when he's 100%.
Well, man, okay. Well, aren't we all day-to-day?
It's almost like
are we all day-to-day?
He and his agent have concocted this. Just have a couple of big games every year, and there'll be someone desperate to go give you a contract.
It's a pass-happy league.
I think it's why – well, it's not even that. It's you got to be desperate. And the Chiefs were desperate for an insurance policy off – Tyreek Hill's girlfriend being back in his life. And I think if that situation doesn't happen, Tyreek Hill is not on this team. So for that reason, and the fact that they got him on a 3-year deal that they can get out
after two,
which is still a $7 million hit. Let's not be, you can't, they've got another $7 million hit coming for Eric Berry next year. As they prorated it out over 2 years. So,
and it's frustrating because
it's not ideal, but I get why they did it. They took a shot at a guy who has similar skills to what Tyreek Hill, you know, brings to the table. Right, but yeah.
And when he's
now
there,
it's time to move on.
When he's there, they win.
You can see the difference in how that opens up the offense.
Yes.
He just can't consistently be there.
I know fans like to crap on Sammy, but man, when he is there, whoo, route runner, got the speed, got all the hands in the world, knows the playbook in and out. I mean, just the ultimate professional. Problem is, his body kind of betrays him from time to time. And based on previous history of said body betraying him, he wants to be there fully healthy as best he can moving forward.
Football is not important to him.
I wouldn't necessarily say that.
I would say that that's the category that general managers would put him in.
And I guess I'm representing Sammy Watkins at this moment, and I would say that I would disagree with you.
I'm sure Sammy Watkins would, but I'm telling you that
Sammy Watkins,
the general manager community would say, "There, how many surgeries have there been?" This is what they would say.
Well,
let's see if Adam Thielen plays this week.
He's going to sit out this week to be ready for next week against the Chiefs. That's what I saw this earlier today.
Let's just see how long Adam Thielen's down with a pulled hamstring.
Here's I get if I'm Sammy agent's lawyer, father, friend, whatever, wife. I would say Sammy Watkins had a foot injury that was problematic and nagging, but returned to the playoffs and look at them game loss because he was he was he was the offense. He was more productive than Travis Kelce. He was more productive than Tyreek Hill. He was more productive than anybody else. Other than
and I would tell
offense.
You because the New England Patriots
double teamed
all their resources elsewhere. That the teams did what it is. Listen.
Well, I mean, hey, somebody's got to get those yards. Somebody's got to get those.
You give $21 million to Sammy Watkins because I'm not.
Yeah. Again, as Sammy Watkins' agent, I'm just going to, you know, reflect. I'm going to deflect and go to the game logs of the playoffs where he was as good as anybody on the field playing wide receiver that day.
Yeah.
But hey, I understand your point. There's validity to both sides. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But without
Sammy
him, they can
Watkins,
do those things, and there's nobody there to be him.
Right,
he's
right.
Better than, certainly better
he's,
than the
he's
average
better than
player
replacement
they put in there.
Player. Yes, he is above replacement
that's,
player.
That's roll, not that roll, high a bar.
Roll out their record. Yeah, well, he's being paid to be
that's
more.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, of course.
Me,
yeah.
To your point.
If beg him to be more guy, than, you know,
that's
Chris Conley.
He could be somebody's one. He's a really
what
good
are
number
they
two.
With him and without him. Check that. If you just see the games that he played, just take his career game log. You can see whether they won or lost, or go back through it.
Last year, before he re-aggravated his foot injury against the Rams, I believe the team was like 9-1 or 9-1 going into the postseason game, because I think he missed the remainder of it. And then obviously he had won every game they had played this year until he got hurt. So I mean, you know, it's just a difficult situation, but. What I'm saying, I guess what I can report, is that Sammy Watkins is expected to play on Sunday.
Last year they were 8-2 with him, 4-2 without.
Okay.
This year they are 4-1 with him, 1-1 without. Those the 2 years that he's
now remember
been a
you
chief.
Now remember you I remember you asked this and this was a very good question, the fact that he went against he was a go against the Indianapolis Colts and then two snaps into it was like, yep, can't go today.
Oh, he's got three of those on his
right. Right,
he's got three games where he's good to go.
So I would almost count that as like him not even being out there because he was never targeted. He only played two snaps and then he was gone.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I think Sammy Watkins served a purpose and that purpose has been served and this organization needs to move forward. So if he's going to be out there, that's great. He's on the roster, but you know, there is a level of expectation that comes with playing the position. I get it. It's not about whether or not you can out-tough my grandma, okay? You have to be able to out-tough guys in the National Football League.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
Your best ability is availability.
Yeah.
There's truth to that, and there will always be truth to that.
All right, so what do you think they will do? How you think he's going to be out till he, being Patrick Mahomes, till the after the bye?
Mexico City seems logical if the three-week prognosis is accurate and he does everything necessary throughout his rehab to get to that point. I would still be leery of playing him against the Chargers.
But can I say for all those
with the bye week coming after? And again, this game is in Mexico City. This is not an NFL regulated field. Although the field should be better than it was last year because there's no Shakira concert.
For those that have been concerned about Reed putting him in harm's way by dropping him back too much and for running the quarterback sneak. Do we really want to risk putting him on an airplane that's got to fly? I mean, do we really want to make that risk?
Yeah, and playing altitude. Mm-hmm.
No, but just getting on a plane.
Yeah.
I mean, something could go wrong.
But you're going. Yeah, you're going. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, again, this is why I should say any Chiefs fan should mark their calendar for December 1. Just put it down.
Should he only play home games?
The history
so that he doesn't
of,
have to get well, the, up because well, airplanes have crashed.
Well, the
massive history of NFL teams dying and plane crashes. They have
he has to sleep at the stadium from now on.
Yeah.
So I mean, the issue with that is you play the Packers Sunday, the Vikings the next week.
Then
you're on the.
I think you're missing the sarcasm here.
Then you're on the road.
He's driving right past the fact that you aren't serious about
home
this.
Games only, so that he doesn't have to risk travel and going to and from the airport and. Climbing down the stairs of the plane. And
those planes are, you know, not comfortable when you fly coach, which I'm sure.
What do you think? Home games only?
I think we should push it just a little bit more. Just an inch more.
Should,
a smidge.
Okay, if traveling, should he be forced to never get out of his seat, always be buckled?
Well, I'm thinking bubble wrap, honestly.
Because as we've all heard when traveling by plane, You got to keep that seatbelt buckled. They're not responsible.
Tightly fastened, yes. is what they suggest. Yes.
Should that be it? Emergency row only.
And always and
first
always.
First man out.
Yeah, got to get him out.
You emergency know. Row only.
Instead of putting the air gas mask, whatever, on me, I need to put it on him
you
first.
Put it on Patrick yes. first.
Then me. You know,
in
like,
the case of a loss of cabin pressure,
yes.
fix the mask to Patrick yes. Mahomes first before
then
putting
you.
On your own mask.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to, you know, I mean, I don't look forward to that, but if there ever were some trouble, it would be good to see Adam Schefter tweet it out immediately as it was happening.
Yeah.
Ian Rappaport be in the plane, I'll bet. Andy wouldn't see him, but he'd be in there.
Well, they're in the overhead compartment. That's why he doesn't see him.
Yeah, he pops his head out.
Rappaport's not a large man. He could probably fit in the overhead.
I can't take this right now.
The overhead thing pops open and Rappaport's face pops out.
I can't confirm that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are on the plane.
That Patrick Mahomes got the second bag of peanuts and was given the entire can of Diet Coke.
Not just half the can like the rest of us.
Not a whole can. Come on. Half a can is not awesome.
But no, I think Matt Moore will be fine. Just don't turn the ball over. Don't make it hard on your defense, because Aaron Rodgers is really good, y'all. He really good.
With a backup quarterback.
I think he could have thrown for seven touchdowns against the Raiders.
Coming off a rough night.
Until Andy Reid's last couple of years in Philadelphia, where they were started the spiral down and ultimately led to his firing. He was 2-7 in those last 2 years. Previous to that, he was 23-13 with backup quarterbacks overall. He was 22-13. Previous to that, he was 24-20. He's 1-0. Nick Foles stepping in, backup quarterbacks due to injury,
right.
Playing in there. So 25-20 when the Eagles were on the downslope. If you take it away when he had a competitive team, which this one certainly looks like it is. Then he's 23-13, so he's pretty good
mm-hmm.
with the backup quarterback.
Yeah, Jeff Garcia, AJ Feely, just run them on out there.
Coy Detmer, AJ Feely, Mike McMahon, who he went 2-5 with, needed to get rid of him quick. Jeff Garcia 5-1.
Yeah,
Kevin Cobb, Mike Vick, Vince Young, and Nick Foles.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good. Pretty good.
Yep. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers against the Chiefs defense next here in the program. Nate Taylor is with us from The Athletic.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Nate Taylor's here. 6 to 8 weeks on Zion Williamson. He's very upset.
Oh, Zion! I wouldn't watch you dunk on grown men! Oh, I've got to wait 8 weeks for it.
It'll get there eventually.
Got a fantasy basketball league. I just hate it that a guy's not going to have him for 6 to 8 weeks. That's just awful.
Just want to watch Zion dunk on people in the open court.
I think it'd be fun, yeah. It'll happen for a couple of years before he gets hurt.
Yeah.
290 is a lot to be bouncing up and down like that.
Yeah, and for all the fans that love Joel Embiid here, I mean, he's also got the same issue where it's just like, hey, you know, you got to labor up and down that 94 feet for literally 8 months if you're good.
Yeah, so. I'm with you. We're talking to Nate Taylor. What do you think we see Aaron Rodgers do against our Kansas City Chiefs? What kind of day? How did the Chiefs defense, how does it fare?
It was fascinating yesterday to sit on my couch and not know a single person playing wideout for the Packers, and he still threw all those touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers is really good. He seems to have found a really nice chemistry with Matt LaFleur. Doesn't help that Kendall Fuller has a fractured thumb. We learned that today. He had surgery over the weekend from Rick Burkholder. So Kendall Fuller, I don't know if we'll necessarily see him on the field, but if you're Morris Claiborne, Rashad Breeland, who, congratulations, had a child, a few days ago, and Tre'Davious Ward, man, just stay healthy. Get your legs right, because I think the Chiefs may get some pressure on Aaron Rodgers, but the way he scrambles, the way he maneuvers in the pocket, the way he just extends plays so effortlessly, man, it really sucks to be a DB. It really sucks. Like, I can't stress that enough. Like, the Raiders aren't the greatest defense, but they played well. They played well for, like, three quarters, and it wasn't close. Because Aaron Rodgers is that good, and he's that accurate. And if you're a Chiefs fan, enjoy the fact that you have a ticket to Arrowhead to watch that man play football. Because I would almost say the Chiefs need to flip it in a lot of ways, where they need to, you know, try to run the ball, control the clock, eat up some time, get a little, you know, funky, crazy with it if you need be. Hey, Dave Tobe, you got some trickeration? Why don't we go out here and see it? Because Aaron Rodgers is really good, and he's only gotten better as the season has progressed, which means that he is really starting to understand who can I trust down and distance situations and how to scramble out of the pocket to extend plays. I mean, it's what he did yesterday was really, really impressive.
Yeah, no, he's the best thrower of the football that's ever lived, in my opinion. And maybe one day Patrick Mahomes will take that title from mm-hmm. him. But Aaron Rodgers has that title as far as I'm concerned right now. And many other people. I'm not.
No.
Oh, I mean, you only push you'll hear this kind of inside wow. is here.
Who is this Aaron Rodgers
this
guy you speak of?
You talk of.
But it does speak to how they've kind of come together as a team with the Packers. And they were bad early against the Bears. That, uh-huh. that was a rough go. But listen, the Chiefs handled the Raiders too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what is the Packers' marquee win? You know, it's not the Bears. That doesn't mean much. It ain't the Lions. That doesn't mean much. Raiders doesn't mean much. I mean, they don't have.
They destroy the Broncos. Just destroy them.
Which means what?
Right. No, I'm just saying. I'm just telling you their wins. Their best win is probably against the Detroit Lions, honestly, which we saw was.
Or what, 3-3-1 or
2-3-1, I believe. And that was a close game, went down to the wire. You know, there were some issues with the officiating that night, but, hey, you know.
They lost to a 500 Eagles team.
One by 10 at Dallas.
Dallas is
but gave up 563 yards
by the
process.
Way, the only reason why Dallas won last night is because the Philadelphia Eagles have no secondary what to speak of.
Dallas is 4-3, so that's their best win.
Yeah.
Is going down and winning that
they're
one.
They're outgained by 230 yards in that game.
They're favored by 4. I think they should be.
Yeah.
With Matt Moore, I think that's a fair spread. And yeah, if the Chiefs defense, if this was just a mirage that we watched last week, then they're going to go past that number. But if this defense is starting to find itself and get on a roll, then okay, then 4 is probably the right number.
And I wouldn't – look, this might be a game where you say, I have no issue if Steve Spagnuolo just wants to be, like, really aggressive and just blitz the living daylights. Because, look, asking those DBs to play 4 to 5 seconds in coverage, which can happen with Aaron Rodgers, is a no-go. Like, it's just not going to go well. So – watching the Raiders, they exploited the Packers with their tight ends. Could be a big opportunity for Travis Kelce.
I'd be really worried about Aaron Jones, right? That's the running
back?
Aaron Jones getting going because the play action and the bootleg and all that kind of stuff, Rodgers is great with those play fakes.
Yep.
Can be. He had some. I was like, you're not even near him. What are you doing? but if they're running the ball well, it gets a lot harder, too.
Yes.
So that to me will be a big part of it. Who do you think wins? Who are you going for?
You have to say Packers at this point. We haven't seen Matt Moore in a full game plan, but until then, trust Aaron Rodgers in a prime time situation.
All right, Nate Taylor, The Athletic, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you this Sunday on the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show. We'll talk 2-minute drill next.
The burnt end of the hour question, brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, before Carter Stanley, who was the last Kansas quarterback to have 4 touchdowns and no interceptions in a road game? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.